Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Bucky's Fifth Podcast. Jay Kukurowski here on this Tuesday evening. We got Owen Reese, as always, my co-host for this wonderful podcast. And joining us today, a former writer at B5Q, wrote for us a little bit, was it 2013? Time's flown by there. But we have from the Wisconsin State Journal, covers the beat, the Wisconsin football beat for the Wisconsin State Journal. We got Jason Galloway here. Jason, man, happy Tuesday. Spring football is now upon us.
Yeah, it's too bad we couldn't see it today.
I know. For those that don't know, the first week of practice is closed off to the media. So practice today, which is Tuesday, Thursday, and then there's a practice this weekend or sometime around this weekend, will be closed. I think it's Saturday that is closed to the media. But starting April 2nd, no April Fool's joke there. We will be there covering spring ball, and I know myself and I know Jason will both be there. And I mean, granted, Jason, man, yesterday we had a nice 20-minute conversation with Paul Christ. Jason, man, I mean, 20 minutes is a pretty long time talking to Paul. And that's, I mean, granted, I know there's a lot that happened. No one even asked about Kyle Penniston for that matter. But you know, there's talk about Alex Hornibrook and the transfer there, John Dietzen retiring, who, you know, the status of Garrett Rand, among others. A lot of quarterback talk. I know you hit on it in your article, and we hit it on ours on Bucky's Fifth Quarter. Really, starting off with the position changes, though, you know, we can hit it off there first. What was your reaction to, you know, some of the play, you know, the position changes? Seth Kearns goes from outside, from safety to inside linebacker. Griffin Grady bounces to the from inside linebacker. You have Isaac Rendo, Brady Shipper going to running back. Those are the ones that we know about. Which ones are the most intriguing to you?
For me, I think it's Grady to outside linebacker. And, you know, I know we're going to get into the outside linebackers a little bit later, but I think there's just there's a lot of candidates to be in the rotation this year after Zach Bond. Now, obviously, they got to find a second starter there. Tyler Johnson, I think Tyler Johnson would still probably be the favorite there, but with Grady moving over there, I think he's a candidate to at least compete for that spot. And you have a couple young guys that Jim Leonard, you know, said that did well in bowl prep, and Isaiah Green-May and Jalen Franklin. And you have, you know, Spencer Little, a true freshman coming in that's pretty highly ranked. You just have I'm probably forgetting somebody too, but you have a lot of guys at that spot that we don't really know a whole lot about. But have potential to maybe be good rotation guys for them at that spot. So I think Grady moving over is pretty interesting because it's already a group that has some talent there. I mean, I know they, you know, a lot of unproven talent, but I think that it's interesting that they think that he can move over there and play a role. So I'm kind of interested to see kind of how he looks because he's a guy that played as a true freshman before he redshirted the following year, and I think they like him. And I think he would have been, if he didn't move, I think he would have been, on the two deep at inside linebacker this year. So I think that I'm really curious to see what he looks like on the outside.
Jason, I want to ask you about Seth Kearns in a second here, but I want to get your reaction on this as well. The move with Grady kind of reminded me, and I know it's vice versa positions, but a couple of years ago, or I believe it was Chris's first spring ball, Jack Sitchie was really impressive in the spring game. And then it was kind of one of those things where, like, well, you want to get him on the field, but he's not going to play at outside linebacker with Beagle and Schobert and TJ Watt there. And they kind of moved him inside and found a way to get him on the field. Do you think that's a way that they're maybe just trying to get as many good linebackers on the field as they can, kind of regardless of whether or not they have to shuffle some guys around?
Yeah, that definitely could be the case. And I think that, you know, I think your starters, your favorites for the inside starters are pretty clear with Chris Orr and Jack Sanborn right now. And I think Grady could have been in that next group. But it is interesting that maybe that's why I'm intrigued by it, because I think that he would have played at inside linebacker. He wouldn't have started, but I think he would have played. So the fact that they're switching to outside, it makes me think that they really think he's he can be a player that can do something for them on the outside. So yeah, I think they are just trying to mix some guys around and see, see who can get on the field at these different spots, whether it's inside or outside. And then Curran's, you know, moving down to inside linebacker, maybe with Grady gone to the outside now, he can kind of fight for a two deep spot and maybe he can work a little bit into the rotation. So I look, they have, you know, obviously they got three starters to replace at a linebacker. It's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out. Cause I think there's, like I said, there's a lot of names there and, you know, some names we don't know a whole lot about yet or what they'll be able to do. So I think it's something, it's really kind of the position on defense that I'm the most interested to look at.
Some of the Badgers that are going to be out, or as Paul Chris alluded to yesterday, are going to be limited potentially. Out of the ones that he mentioned, Cole Van Lennon and Tyler Biadasz, the offensive lineman, will be out for the spring. Didn't really go into detail why necessarily, though I'm guessing it's some health related issue, obviously. But then there's Christian Bell, who he did call out, had an injury during bowl prep practices. Those three are definitely out. But then you have Garrett Rand and Broderick Shaw. Both, when asked by us, the reporters that were there, you know, mentioned about Rand being kind of limited and doesn't know if he's going to be on a pitch count with him coming back from that reported Achilles tear. And then Shaw obviously working back from injury that cost him all of last season. You know, which position group is really affected the most by these players either being out or being limited?
Yeah, you know, I think it's the offensive line. You know, Van Landen and Biadasz are kind of your two guys that are, I know Van Landen wasn't really a starter last year, but he practically was. With those two guys out, that gives a lot of opportunity for some of the young players at that spot to get first team reps and see what they can do. You know, I think Tyler Beach is a guy that could get a lot of left tackle reps throughout the spring, and maybe he can at least have an opportunity to show what he can do. You know, Josh Schelzner is a guy that was a walk on here, but I think that they really have liked what he's been able to do the last couple of years. And I think Joe Rudolph even mentioned toward the end of last year that he actually expects him to compete for a starting job this year. Now, I don't know if he's the favorite to do so, but I think with these other guys out, and with Lyles and Erdman taking a lot of center reps, that gives, you know, Selsner a greater opportunity to take a lot of one reps, you know, at the guard position. And so there's going to be a lot of new faces on the offensive line that you know, fans haven't seen a lot of yet. I think it kind of helps them that they have guys like Erdman and Logan Bruss, and, you know, some guys that haven't been starting but have started games in the past. But I think with these two guys out, and this has kind of become a trend every year with spring ball, these offensive linemen that are experienced and have started games in the past, they seem to always sit out the spring. I remember last year there was, I think, pretty much they had a lot of their starters out as well. And I think it helps some of these young players be able to get more reps. And and, you know, spring is one of those things where you don't necessarily need to be preparing for the new season yet. You know, I think it's a time where, you know, they always want to just focus on improvement rather than position battles. And I think when you have a lot of young guys on the offensive line that have talent, but maybe aren't quite polished yet, to get them some more reps, I think it could be really big for sort of their long-term future.
Speaking of polish and getting more reps, let's take a quick transition to the quarterback position. Paul Chris, as we all know, that's why we get paid the big bucks. As we all know, Paul Chris, not always the most open when discussing quarterbacks, and a bit of that yesterday as well. But obviously some pretty big shakeups, some pretty significant changeover at the position. What was your reaction to Alex Hornibrook transferring, and then as well kind of what Paul Chris had to say yesterday regarding the quarterback position as a whole heading into spring?
Yeah, I was pretty surprised when Hornibrook announced he was transferring. I thought that there was a chance that he wouldn't be back this year, but I thought it would be probably health related if that were the case. And obviously he's transferring to Florida State, so that's not the case. He does plan on playing again. But I think it's really interesting. I think it makes this offseason a lot more interesting for Wisconsin. I think, you know, Hornibrook would have been, as much struggles as he had last year, you know, being a 3-year starter, he would have been the favorite to to win the job again this year. And I do think if he had stayed, there would have been a full-fledged competition still, but I think he would have been the favorite, having the experience he has. And now you come into this really with almost everyone as a clean slate. And I think Jack Cohn obviously had the five games he played last year and started to look a little better in those last two against Purdue and Miami. But we'll have to kind of see if he's able to kind of take that and take the next step up. And these other three guys, Danny Vandenboom, Chase Wolf, and Graham Mertz, we just don't know a whole lot about them yet. I mean, we've seen the high school tape. We've seen, Danny Vandenboom throw a touchdown pass and a 30-point win over New Mexico. But we really haven't seen enough of these guys to have a big opinion on them yet. And so this is kind of the first time in spring we're going to get the chance to kind of see how this works out. And like you said, Paul didn't say much about the quarterback competition. He's not going to give anything away right now of kind of what he's thinking or where he's leaning, if he is leaning any direction. But it is interesting that he said that, they've got four scholarship quarterbacks and he expects all four to get reps. Now, I think, he kind of played it off that it was easy to get four guys reps. I don't know if it really is. I think we'll know. It's going to be pretty telling kind of how these reps are divided, I think, early on. I don't think you can give four guys equal reps. I think that's pretty difficult to do. And it's going to be, I'm really curious to these first few practices that we're going to get to see next week. Who's going to be going out there first? Who's going to be taking more of the one reps and how are these divided? Cause I think that a lot of people are obviously excited about Graham Mertz and want to see him be named the starter right away. But, I think you need to kind of temper those expectations as, I don't think he's a lock to win this job, obviously. And I think if he did win the job, a true freshman starting as talented as he is going to be probably some growing pains in there. So I'm really intrigued by this is obviously the story of the offseason and of spring practice. And I'm really anxious to get out there next week and to kind of see what Mertz looks like in his first practices as a college player. And kind of if some of these other guys we haven't seen take a whole lot of reps yet, like Chase Wolf and Danny Vandenboom, have they taken the necessary steps to actually compete as we go through the offseason?
You and we're here with Jason Galloway from the Wisconsin State Journal here on Bucky's Fifth Podcast. Always great talking to Jason. Looking at the position previews, there's going to be three, and we'll whip through these for you guys. One to get Jason back just to relax on this Tuesday evening, but also just kind of whip around and kind of talk about just three positions: outside linebackers, wide receivers, and the specialists. I mean, let's kick off with the outside linebackers first, talking about defense. Gone is Andrew Van Ginkle, and maybe we'll wrap these two questions into one. How much will this unit, and I think it will miss it a lot, how much will this unit miss Andrew Van Ginkle and his production? Even when he was injured last year, I felt he made a sizable impact at the position compared to the others. But also, can Zach Bond, going to be a redshirt senior, if he's healthy, can he take that next step and become a leader with this group?
I think, to answer the second part first, I think Zach Bond can take the next step. I think he had a little bit of a transition period sitting out a whole year in 2017 and coming in and as a starter this year. But I think really over the second half of the year, he started to really improve and show what he's made of. And I think he's got a real opportunity. I think he's a breakout candidate for sure. They're going to need him to play well. Like you said, like I mentioned, earlier in the show that, they have a lot of unproven guys there after Bond. And so I think they're going to need Bond to kind of step up, on the field and from a leadership role, like you mentioned. As far as missing Andrew Van Ginkle, yeah, I think they will. I mean, I think when Van Ginkle was not at 100%, they missed him last year. I think it was difficult for them to get enough pressure on the quarterback when he wasn't at 100% or when he was out. And I think they're going to have to try to find some more guys who can get after the passer. I think Bond probably needs to improve some in that area as well. And I think that's probably one of the biggest things. Sort of a big question for this defense is can they get their pass rush back to what it was when they had guys like TJ Watt and Vince Beagle and Joe Schobert at that position. So I think that's I think there's a lot of candidates there to step up, opposite Bond. But you knew when Van Ginkle was healthy, he was going to give you that. And with him gone, it's going to be interesting to see if they can find a good replacement.
Jason, with Christian Bell announced as out for the spring, and kind of with Griffin Grady moving over and what is seeming to be, the coach is kind of looking for some, maybe not some answers, but looking for some help at the position. Spencer Lytle, obviously, we mentioned, was a pretty highly ranked, highly considered high school prospect and had over 40 scholarship offers or something obnoxious. Coming from that national power program, how much do you think that he could really put himself in a position to be in the mix, maybe not even for a starting spot, but to contribute as a true freshman at outside linebacker?
Yeah, I think Lytle's really interesting because, like you said, he had so many offers, and I think Clemson even offered him at one point. And you know, he's a guy that I think people have gotten excited about him. He is one of the higher ranked guys, but he's also, you know, somewhat flown a little under the radar as far as he's not one of the guys you first mention when you think about guys that could come in here and play right away like the Graham Mertzes of the world. But I think he's definitely got an opportunity. I mean, again, I don't know a whole lot about how prepared he's going to be or what he's going to be since we haven't seen him in this setting yet and at this level. But I think, you know, based on his recruiting ranking and like you said, coming from powerhouse high school, he may be, you know, coming in the spring too. I mean, I think that's underrated sometimes as far as how much it can help freshmen coming in and giving them a better chance to play as in their first year, you know, to come in here in January and get your school started and kind of get acclimated and start learning the defense now in March and April rather than the summer and in the fall and having to kind of rush things. I think it definitely helps him. And like I think I would definitely loop him in with some of the other candidates I mentioned earlier that could compete for a rotational spot on at that position. I think with Grady moving over and then, you know, like you said, Christian Bell's going to be out, but maybe he can factor in when he's healthy in the fall. But, you know, a couple other young guys like Jalen Franklin or Isaiah Green May, they're guys that, like I mentioned before, you know, Leonard said that had done pretty well in bowl practices. And so maybe they can, fight for that starting spot on the other side. And that's not even mentioning Tyler Johnson, who I think that if he hadn't gotten injured last year, maybe would have had a little bit better season. So, again, a lot of names there. And Lytle's a guy that I think could factor in there for sure. I think it really helps him to come in early.
And now kind of turning our attention to wide receivers. And this is a group, it's interesting because it you have your top three, AJ Taylor, Danny Davis, Kendrick Pryor. And I know, and maybe I think I'm guilty about this where I know in our position previews in the spring and fall last year, kind of felt like we kind of hyped them up. And last year, and obviously that was before Quintez Cephas was suspended indefinitely. Due to his legal situation with a standing trial coming up in July, late July, for the two sexual assault charges right now that are against him. Mike, I guess, you know, now with this group, you have the top three, and then you have Aaron Cruikshank, who played all 13 games, and Taz Mustafa, another true freshman who enrolled early, had four games that he played. Jack Dunn, Adam Krumholtz, two walk-ons that have stepped up in the past couple of years. And then you have, you know, even redshirt sophomores like Cade Green and, gosh, Emmett Perry, for that matter, and along with even a rising redshirt freshman, A.J. Abbott. There's some talent, in my opinion, but outside of the top three, maybe not obviously, maybe top four if you include Dunn with the amount of snaps he got last year, and Cruikshank, maybe top five with Cruikshank. I mean, what should really be the expectations for this group, Jason, coming up for maybe what to do this spring, but also just looking ahead even down the road in for the season itself in 2019?
Yeah, I think it's natural to kind of temper expectations after we hyped them up so much last year and it didn't really work out. And I do think the quarterback play really didn't help them last year. But when you look at the talent of those top three guys, with Taylor, Davis, and Pryor, I mean, they should be good enough to make more plays than they did last year, regardless of the quarterback play. So it's going to help if they, I think it was kind of came all at them at once with Cephas leaving I mean, that was really soon before the season. I think within 2 weeks before the season that the Cephas stuff broke and he was suddenly gone. And Davis was then suspended for the first two games. And I think it kind of threw the group off a little bit. You know, they said all the right things and said that, you know, it wasn't affecting them, but maybe it did in the long run. And I think we underestimated too just how good Cephas was, just how important he was to this offense and the deep threat he gave them too, because that was kind of one of the main reasons, the main, you know, fallbacks for this passing game, is they just didn't get the downfield plays that they had gotten the last couple of years. But I think there's, like you said, there's still a lot of talent there. Those top three guys are really good in my opinion, and I think if they can get some better quarterback play this year, that'll help them as well. But I think even if they don't get much better quarterback play, they're capable of making more plays than they did last year. So I think our expectations should be, and it's tough too. I mean, you go back and watch these games, and it's always hard without coaches tape to watch positions like wide receiver. You just don't ever know unless you can see behind the quarterback, you know, how those guys are doing play to play, and are they getting the separation? Are they getting open? And so it's difficult to evaluate them in that sense too. But I think these guys are really good, and I think the passing game I think it's got to improve at least a little bit from last year. And I think another year of all those guys coming back, I think it's got to be better than last year. So I'm pretty high on these guys still. I'm going to go in with a little bit more tempered expectations than the previous season. I don't think they're going to, you know, hit their goal of, you know, breaking last year's goal of, you know, breaking the school record for passing touchdowns or anything like that. But again, I do think this is a talented group, and they're going to be able to play better than they did last year.
All right, Jason. So moving into the spring here, obviously the Badgers are in a, I guess, an advantageous position. They already have their established guys at the position. And I think as Paul mentioned yesterday, a lot of development can take place in the spring. Obviously moving Isaac Garendo, who I believe started camp last year as a running back before going back to wide receiver and now back to running back, and Brady Shipper, who played running back in high school, moving to running back. Who do you think can use this spring? Who can really make a move? I guess if there was one guy that could maybe join the group of established receivers, or the ones who we theoretically know what their role should be or what they can grow off of, who do you think's a guy that could see more time this year?
You know, I would say Crookshank, but he was like the MVP of spring ball last year and ended up not doing a whole lot on offense. I mean, we were raving over the guy, you know, day in and day out during spring last year. And, you know, I think most of the top wide receivers sat out of spring last year. I think if I remember correctly, I believe AJ Taylor was the only one of the top four to participate in spring ball. So it kind of gave Crookshank the opportunity to show what he can do. And I think with another full off season ahead of him, though, if he can continue to kind of progress forward and have another big spring, I think he probably is the top candidate to kind of join that group and potentially pass up Jack Dunn to get it to force his way out of the two deep. I think he has shown what he can do. I think he just had a little bit more of an adjustment period with kind of the, you know, with the mental side of the game too. Last year, I think it was just a big transition for him. And I think Taj Mustafa too is another guy that really impressed during the first four games. I think people, you know, some people kind of forgot about him because he played four games and then we didn't see him again. But you know, that was just because they wanted to redshirt him. So I think he showed quite a bit in spring practice. And I think Mustafa last spring would have gotten a lot more attention if Crookshank wasn't there. I think he also performed really well last spring, and but Crookshank was kind of overshadowing him. So I'm pretty high on Mustafa too. So I think those are the two guys I would pick out as with big off seasons, maybe they could join that group and slide in there as the fourth receiver and challenge Dunn for that role. You know, I think that they've really got a lot of depth at this position, and it didn't really show last year, but I think those two guys being in their first year last year, if they have another good off season, they could make a jump.
One more question for the receivers before we take a look at the specialists, which is obviously my favorite group to cover. Specialists are people too, hashtag. But with the receivers, what do you think guys like Cade Green or Emmett Perry could do? I remember talking to John Veldheis from BadgerBlitz.com about this, I think, at the end of last fall camp during that scrimmage where Green kind of stood out when he was with the reserves. And obviously, I think he was injured for part of last fall camp, so he wasn't able to do as much, and that kind of opened the door for guys like Jack Dunn and Aaron Cruikshank and Taz Mustafa to really get a lot of reps too. But I mean, and I know we haven't seen a lot of them per se because the injuries have kind of kept them out, or just they're buried behind everybody else on the depth chart. But how big is this spring, do you think, for those two guys?
Are you sure the specialists are your favorite group to talk about? I think Alec Ingold and those guys are.
Oh, that's true. you called me out. That's very, yeah. Fullback City and specialty. I mean, yeah, I try to divide my loyalties with them though. You know, you have those connections with those guys that don't do anything for practice for, you know, most of practice and only come on for the beginning and at the end of the practices. But I thank you for calling it out. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
We don't have any sympathy for the guys that only practice like four periods a day.
I just got to hold you accountable there, Jake. But as far as Emmett Perry and Cade Green go, yeah, I just think that I think they've really fallen behind, and I think it's going to be difficult at this point for them to get in a position to get some real snaps and some real playing time. I know they have a few years left, but this might be sort of their last opportunity. While guys like Cruikshank and Mustafa are still young, you still have, I think the only senior in the group is AJ Taylor. So even next year, they're only going to be losing one guy. I think it's a big offseason for them, for both those guys, if they want to try to, do something here before their career is over. It's been a kind of a struggle so far for them to, the guys that came in right before them were so talented. I don't think there was any catching them, and now that they've brought in some talented guys like Cruikshank and Mustafa, and last year, I think it has been difficult for them to kind of stay up there. So they're interesting ones to watch, because I think there is some urgency behind as their career goes along, all this talent at the position, they're going to want to do everything they can to kind of work their way on the field. But I think at this point, it's going to be difficult.
And now we'll go to the specialists. Obviously a player that everyone knows and is near and dear to many in Badger Nation's hearts. That's Rafael Gaglianone. He is departing and the all-time field goals leader in school history. And that opens the door for a couple of players with Colin Larsh and Zach Hintz. And Hintz actually attempted a 62-yard field goal against Northwestern that had the leg, but it was off. I guess leading off with place kicking duties, and we know that Hintz will likely take care of the kickoff specialist duties, where the vast majority of his kickoffs in 2018 went for touchbacks and allowed the defense to at least have decent ability to start, to try to attack inside enemy territory in that regard. But for place kicking, who do you feel has the edge? Because I know Larsh was the number two place kicker on the depth chart. But, how big is it for them to establish during this time period, who takes over for Hafa?
Yeah, I think Larsh definitely has the edge. Like you mentioned, he was the number two guy throughout last year. And I think during fall camp, when we actually got to see practice, we don't get to see too many kicks, but I think, he seemed to be making a lot in practice when we saw. So I think he's a good kicker, and he's got a chance to have a really solid year. And, I think Hintz will still handle the really long kicks. Like if they want to attempt a 60-yard at the end of half or something like that, like we saw. I think you probably mentioned what game it was, but I don't remember what game it was, but I think he'll still be there for that. And of course he'll still handle kickoffs. He was one of the best guys, really one of the best guys in the country at kickoffs last year. So I think he'll definitely still have a role, but if I'm looking at who's going to replace Gagliano, I'm definitely looking at Larch as the favorite there. And, you know, as we saw, Hintz has the leg. I think it's just to trying to become as accurate as he can. If he can get a little more accurate, maybe he can push Larch for that starting job. But I think as we enter spring ball here, I think you have to make Larch the favorite.
As we've seen, I guess, during Paul Crist's tenure, Wisconsin isn't afraid to use a lot of different special teamers. You know, we've seen obviously Gaglianone as the kicker, but Andrew Endicott has been a kickoff guy, and PJ Rozalski was a kickoff guy, and now Hintz as well. And there's two senior punters that both saw time last year, and Anthony Lottie and Connor Allen. And a bit of transition, I guess, is that Lottie had really had the position for 2 years, and then last year, for the second half of the year, for most of it, either seemed to fall out of favor with the coaching staff or was simply usurped by Allen. Who do you anticipate getting the call, or do you think this is really a competition that spring ball could probably help sort out heading into the summer?
Yeah, I think this will probably be a full-fledged competition. I mean, you look at sort of last year, I think Lottie took the first seven games and suddenly Allen was punting, and he did the last five games in the regular season, and then Lottie came back and it was actually the one to punt in the bowl game. So that was pretty interesting, and these guys were kind of in a competition throughout last year. And you know, unless one can separate, which we haven't seen that yet, I think it's probably something that we won't know until, you know, probably at some point in August. I don't know if we're going to come out of spring really knowing who the number one punter is. You know, I think typically when they do special teams drills, they've got, you know, two snappers going, and you know, usually the guys are punting at the same time. So I mean, in a scrimmage situation, they don't punt. So I don't think we're going to be able to see who sort of quote unquote the first guy out there is in these practices. So it's going to be interesting to see just kind of how they perform throughout spring and then into the fall. And again, it's you know, it's two guys that had pretty similar punting averages last year. I think if you're Wisconsin, you hope that one of them separates, because I mean, their punting average last year and really the last, you know, quite a few years, it hasn't really been up to par with others in, you know, in the Big Ten. I think that you would like to at least get sort of in the middle of the pack in the Big Ten and in the country and you're punting. And I, you know, Lottie's had good stretches where he's been really good at, you know, downing punts inside the 20, inside the 10. But as far as just, you know, flipping the field, I think they want to be able to prove in that area. So I think that they're going to hope that one of these guys can separate.
Last question for you before we let you go. I know we promised you, I said to you we'd get done about 25, and of course we're running like 33 minutes into this podcast, Jason. So we appreciate you sticking with us, my good man. And of course you can find Jason's work at the Wisconsin State Journal, at Madison.com, and of course follow him on Twitter at Jason_Galloway. That's two L's, folks. When it comes to the return game, who, in your opinion, steps up in both kickoff and in the punt return games? Because you have, I mean, Jack Dunn averaged 5.5 yards per return. He was reliable for the most part in terms of catching the ball, though. Maybe if I remember correctly, one or two of them, a couple of them, he let fall and gave the team kind of bad position to start off with on offense. But also the kickoff return game, Crookshanks became the number one kickoff returner, about 20.5 yards per return on his end for those kickoffs. But his long was 34, and though it felt like maybe he had a chance to break one or two, well, it wasn't necessarily a big explosion in this third phase of the game. Do you think those two are the ones that kind of go into the club, you know, go into spring being the leaders? Or do you feel like a guy like Danny Davis could step in with the punt return game, who was listed number two in the depth chart as well?
Yeah, I think those guys are the favorites, the ones that did it last year. I think Davis definitely could challenge on punts because, you know, I think he, before Davis was suspended, maybe I think he was probably their guy. But then Dunn came in and did a pretty decent job, and he just kind of stuck with it the rest of the year. But you mentioned, you know, Dunn letting a couple punts go by. This has been something since I've covered Wisconsin that I've seen happen a lot, where it seems like they could come up and catch a punt and they let it hit and it rolls. I wonder if the staff is more, you know, wants to take that, you know, better safe than sorry approach, and they're being instructed to, you know, if you're not 100% sure you can go up and catch that ball cleanly, go ahead and let it bounce. And and we'll keep the ball. So I think Dunn did a pretty good job on punts. You know, he didn't have a whole lot of opportunities. You know, I think for the most part he did everything he could. You know, like you said, he let a couple bounce, but I think there have been years in the past where that has been worse than what Dunn did, the couple that he let go. So I think Dunn's probably still the favorite. I would definitely say Davis is I wouldn't be surprised at all if Davis did take over though. And I think Cruikshank, you know, that's an interesting one for me because, you know, Cruikshank looked like, you know, I think there were a couple returns where he looked pretty dangerous back there, but I think for most of the year he didn't really give them a whole lot on those returns. And so I think they'll try out a lot of guys there. You know, I think Kendrick Pryor is another guy that I feel like could do that job as well. So I think they're going to try out a lot of guys there. I think Cruikshank is still probably the favorite to hold on to that. But I think that, you know, the one big thing too with Cruikshank, sort of like Dunn, is as far as I remember, I don't think he fumbled. So I think that ball security is really important to them as well. Maybe I'm mistaken there. Maybe he had a fumble and didn't lose it. But I think those two, I would probably, you know, have those two as the sort of the favorites. And but I don't think either of them were good enough to where that's definite. I think they'll definitely try a lot of guys out there, and we'll kind of see how it develops.
Jason, man, as always, man, we appreciate you. Well, anything else you got coming up for? I know you've gone through all the, if you guys go to Madison.com and Wisconsin State Journal, you have your previews up for the positions. Anything else you got coming up before we are allowed inside either Camp Randall or the McLean facility on Tuesday?
Yeah, we did. You know, we did finish our position previews today. We also got a Red Zone podcast up. I host my own podcast, so check that out on iTunes or Google Play. It's called The Red Zone. We just did a little mailbag episode, kind of talking about spring ball. So you can check that out. May have a feature later in the week on Joe Tippmann, incoming freshman that won't be here until the summer, but kind of starting to do some features on some of these freshmen that are coming in and kind of taking a look at some of those guys.
Awesome, man. Well, we love having you on. We'd love to have you back on again sometime during the spring to talk more and see what you see through your eyes and compare to what I'm seeing and if Owen can get out what he sees as well. But appreciate you coming on again, my good man. And I'll see you next week.
Yeah, anytime. I'll see you at Camp Randall.
Guys, it's Jason Galloway from the Wisconsin State Journal and Madison.com. We're going to take one quick break, wrap up the show with a couple quick mailbag questions here on Bucky's Fifth Podcast.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
And wrapping up here on Bucky's Fifth Podcast, big thanks again to Jason Galloway. Again, follow him at Jason_Galloway on Twitter. Follow us at B5Q at Reese Draft, R-I-E-S-E Draft, and me at JCocoB5Q. Thank you guys again for listening. We'll get into how to listen to us and where to listen to us and how to spread the word and what reviews to give us coming up a little bit later. But
also, maybe a bit of breaking news here, and I apologize if we're going to cover this on another night. Ty Strickland, speaking of Badger basketball, going to transfer. So maybe the remaining depth of the Badger guards are going to tweet, hold on to your butts, because they're about to get more minutes.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big thing too. We didn't get a chance to cover this one yet, but Ben's basketball, the true freshman guard, leaving at about 3.1 minutes per contest, about 1.8 points per game, scored a career high 14 points, and dished out a 6 assists against Savannah State back in mid-December. He is now leaving. If you take a look at Jim Polzine from the Wisconsin State Journal, he said that he wasn't necessarily surprised by the move. Best of wish to Ty. We've had him on the podcast right after he committed to Wisconsin back last spring. And also we had him on in, I think it was January. And he was a great talk. And I thought he had a lot of potential, really, in my opinion. I thought he, with how he commanded the ball, I thought he was a little too fast here and there for Greg Gard's offense and how he, at first, I thought he maybe needed another year in the weight room. But you saw the flashes and the potential. And I remember talking to Dean Oliver about how, you know, Demetri Trice, Brad Davison, but even Ty Strickland had an ability where when the shot clock winds down, he has the ability to hit, you know, to drain a three or an open, you know, make a shot happen from deep and having that confidence to do so. So I think the playmaking ability took a hit at the guard position, but you have Trice, Davison, Brevin Pritzel, Kobe King, Trevor Anderson, who will be coming back from a knee injury as well. So there's playing time would be sparse. Best wishes to Ty. Looking forward to seeing where he ends up on that. But before we get going, brother, anything else you got?
No, man. 5-star reviews only. You can find us on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and anywhere else you find your podcasts. We enjoy doing this. And like I said, just give us some feedback. Let us know what you like about the show, what you want to hear about, what you don't like. But 5-star reviews only. Those are the only rules.
We appreciate you guys listening to us. We're going to have one more spring position preview with offensive and defensive line for Owen. It's saving the best for last in terms of the Macho Man, the, you know, cream of the crop rises to the top. And we'll use that as our finishing up for the podcast spring position previews there. So we'll have that up in probably a few days. We'll let you know when that drops too. Again, big thanks to Jason Galloway. And we appreciate you guys all once again for tuning in to Bucky's Fifth Podcast.